Are you going to be a good girl? Are you going to be a good girl in Ukrainian?
Can we include
No.
that in the blooper reel?
Yeah.
Hello, and welcome to that Eurovision podcast, Eurovision with a slice of life. My name is Rosie, and I am delighted to be here today and hosting. Today, it has been kind of cold. It's definitely turning from summer into winter at this point, but I have cooked a roast dinner, which has been wonderful, and I've been for a walk along the canal, and it's been all autumny and cold, and I've been wrapped up in all my jumpers, and it's been very pleasant. And now I'm very happy to be spending my evening cuddled on my sofa with a blanket and a cat and lots of fun Eurovision to discuss. And joining me today is...
Jazzy, it's been really cold today and really, really wet. So I've just been like staying at home, putting the heat with the heating on, like wrapped up and warm. So it's been quite nice. Really excited to kind of learn some stuff with you guys today to delve into this week's topic because it's a little bit different.
Tim here. And if you asked me how I'm feeling, if you're all users of TikTok, there's this little sound where the guy says, oh, how are you all feeling? And then he says, I am not feeling great. But that's just because today's a Sunday. I just came back from Bristol. From Bristol, I was at the OGAE Eurobash. And I may have had a lot to drink since Friday. And Saturday was even worse. But that's just because Leslie and James Newman were there and we were all having too much fun getting drunk and dancing along to Eurovision songs with a bunch of people. And also didn't help the fact that Leslie went off stage and literally danced with me during Story of My Life. Just literally fangirling and just like trying not to freak out.
I'm so jealous.
Oh, they were both so lovely as well. But you know what? I'm a bit hungover and I'm tired, but you know what, I'm very excited about today's topic. This is a very, very weird order because the next person is usually the first one to say things, but they're not.
Well, what can I say? I just have to switch things up, okay? No, but you know what, Tim, there's only one way to go. This is the way back home for you, so it's fine. My name is Rory. I know this is very strange, but yes, I am handing the hosting reins over to Rosie today. And I am just really excited to get into this because the topic is something I've been very aware of, but I don't actually know much about. So I'm really interested to learn a bit and just have my own brain expand in size, to be honest. So yeah, I'll let Rosie get on with it.
Yeah, this is going to be a big brain podcast.
It's not been already. Disgusted.
So today we are going to be talking about the recent OGAE Second Chance contest results. And we are very happy to be joined by a very special guest today, Dan. Dan is a member of OGAE Sweden. And he was also responsible for doing the videos and graphics for this year's contest. So welcome, Dan. Would you like to introduce yourself to everyone listening?
Yeah, thank you very much. Hi, I'm Daniel, or Dan, and I've been basically, in terms of OGAE involvement, head of design for OGAE Second Chance Contest 2018, 2021, and the video contest 2021. Apart from that, I'm sorry, I'm very bad at introducing or explaining things about myself.
What's your favourite Eurovision song?
Oh God, my favourite Eurovision song is Leila from Bosnia-Herzegovina 2006, closely followed by Nocturne, Norway 1995.
Taste.
Thank you very much. All Balkan ballads and that Norwegian song. That's my entire top.
Excellent choices. So yeah, we are very, very happy to be joined by Dan today, and we are going to be talking everything about OGAE 2021 Second Chance, and we'll also talk a little bit about the contest as a whole and how it works. So just as a little bit of an introduction for those of you who don't necessarily know what OGAE or OGAE Second Chance is, OGAE is the Organisation Générale des Amateurs de Eurovision. In English, that is the General Organisation of Eurovision Fans. And it's basically the biggest worldwide fan club for Eurovision that exists out there. Most countries that compete in Eurovision have their own branch. Other countries also have their own branch. And there is also a rest of the world category for countries that don't necessarily have their own branch. And what they do is they do a lot of things, events, newsletters, and all those sorts of things. But one of the biggest and most well-known things they do are secondary contests. And one of these is called the Second Chance Contest. What this is it's a second chance for a song that didn't necessarily win a national final selection to be appreciated by Eurovision fans across the world. So each branch of OGAE that has had a national final in any given year nominates a song from their national final that didn't win. And then all of the OGAE clubs across the world vote on which one is their favorite. Pretty simple, pretty much like a mini Eurovision, effectively. This year we had 14 countries taking part, which is quite a lot lower than previous years. And that is simply because there were quite a lot less national finals, 2020 contests being cancelled, a lot more internal selections. And yes, we had a couple that were one artist selection. So Spain, for example, Voy a Quedarme went to Eurovision, Memoria went to OGAE Second Chance. And this year's contest was won by Monument, Norway's entry, which was performed by the delightful Kano. And first of all, I wanted to talk a little bit about what our thoughts are on the entries that were selected for this year. What would be your personal top three of the songs from this year's OGAE Second Chance?
Oh, okay. You know what? Having less national finals, I thought the quality might have degraded a bit. But I understood that everyone needs their chance from 2020, if possible. So grateful for the broadcasters for doing that. But at the same time, there are some songs where you can't really stop the time. So some countries like Sweden, Melfest needs to happen. So understand that some countries decided with their national finals going ahead still. But looking at it, I think there's some where you just like, the quality is really high, so you can't really refuse. But looking at my personal top three, I would say my third place would be Neve from Portugal, Dancing in the Stars. It just gave me shivers on my first listen, and it just made me cry a lot. Which, I know, I'm a sucker for ballads. That's just me being typical Tim. You get one extreme or the other, happy or sad. And you know what? The top three, you're on the sad bit. So my second place is Lithuania with Jabrasi and Where Do You Want to Go? I mean, we all knew that the group was going to win, but it was amazing for the fact that they chose this song. There's always going to be just the one contesting the winner. And I love the fact that, you know, it didn't make it too unrealistic. We knew it's going to be Lancer, but it's more of like the fact that there was like a modest contender in the lineup. I mean, Kano, come on. I would be surprised if that wasn't the case, but that wasn't my 12 points, but it is, just because of the fact that I still think this would have been better than Spirit in the Sky, and I think the juries would have loved it, but it's just such a shame. Tix was great and all, but I'm still sad and annoyed. But I'm quite happy that Monument got their revenge somehow in this contest, and very happy about it.
I've got quite a few that I actually really, really like. Again, I thought this contest may be a little bit weaker compared to previous years, simply because there was less songs, but boy, am I wrong. There's songs that I want to mention that are not in my top three, like Eric Sade's Every Minute and Gabrassi's Where Do You Want to Go. I would typically include them, but this selection is just so strong that they don't quite make it. For my top three, my third would be Ilte's Kalamasuiten. I love the fact that it's in the Finnish language. I think on the stage, it was beautiful. It was stunning. Some people were like, oh, this may fall flat at Eurovision. People may not get it. I think it would have worked really well at Eurovision. I think it would have emotionally connected to the audience, although the song is in Finnish. It was just beautiful. My second is also, I'm going to agree with Tim here, Neve's Dancing in the Stars. I think it is just such a beautiful song. It was so different to anything we have probably ever really seen in Festival de Canção, especially as they typically do sing in Portuguese, but this song, and usually I like that Portugal stick to Portuguese, but this song really, really works in English. I don't know if it would have the same effect in Portuguese. I was gutted this didn't win the national final at the time. And looking back, I think I still wish it had done. Again, going to echo Tim with my winner, Kano's Monument. It was just a moment. When I first heard the song, I thought, yep, this is a Eurovision winning song. So when it didn't even win the national final, this is even the biggest shock. I wasn't that surprised it didn't win because Tix is obviously such a massive star in Norway. But I think for Eurovision fans, this is probably one of the biggest upsets ever because I don't think Fallen Angel is that liked among Eurovision fans as a song. It seems a little bit boring, a little bit generic. Personally, I don't actually have that opinion of Fallen Angel, and I've been somebody that's been quite defensive of the song because I actually think it does have meaning, and especially when you look at the staging with the song, I think actually the meaning of it's really, really good, but Monument could have won Eurovision. That's the bottom line. Sorry, Tix.
Well, okay. This wouldn't be a That Eurovision podcast episode without me going against everything that Jazzy and Tim say. So I'm going to completely switch it up and say that Monument isn't even touching my top three, mostly just because I wasn't necessarily a big fan of Spirit in the Sky in 2019. And I did think that it was fairly overhyped during Melody Grand Prix this year, but we leave that in the past for a reason. So my top three is a little bit more left field, to say the least. So my number three is Ooh-la-la from Israel. It was my number one in the final three songs that were going up in Eden's national selection. Although after they were all sort of redone, with the exception of La La Love, Set Me Free and Ooh-la-la just worked, I think, as Eurovision songs anyway. But I did have a little bit more of a penchant for Ooh-la-la. So I'm happy that she did manage to get some kind of love from that. Although sad to see that it did so poorly with the juries and all of the votes. My number two is Croatia, Bernarda Colors. I know technically she's a little bit problematic, but the song is just very strong and standalone. Her performance in Dora was absolutely phenomenal. Like, she managed to kill it live. And I think we all had this down as a potential to actually go to the contest. And then when it ended up coming third or fourth or something like that, it was a bit of a shock, really, when Albina came out of nowhere and just won the whole thing. But hopefully she manages to come back again with another song from Borislav Milanov, because he knows what he's doing. He's written some of the absolute bangers that we've had in the past few years. And I'm pretty sure that he's just going to carry on delivering great content with her. And then my number one, this is definitely going to be very left field, but I'm so happy that I get to have it. It's Russia, Thermates, The Future is Bright. Okay, so this is the same thing that we've done going into Manesia as well, because in the national selection in Russia, we had no idea what the songs we were going to get were. It was announced like the week before, and we didn't even know who was going in, what the styles of it were. And then this song was the first one that was out, and it was just so good. And I was like, me standing Russia, who's this? I love the kind of edgy indie vibe on it. There would be something that could easily chart within the UK pop charts nowadays. It's very reminiscent of Rag & Bone Man, maybe a little bit of Tom Grennan in there as well. And it's just sufficiently alternative enough that it's not pandering to the pop levels. And the fact that you only managed to give it 21 points, you have paid Russia dirt. Dirt, I tell you. But otherwise, fairly straightforward. Also, just honourable mentions as well to Sweden, France as well, Estonia as well, and Albania. They were also fairly underrated to Erarussi and Yuri Portsman, but, you know, to each their own.
I'd say my opinions differ from pretty much everyone, except for my third place, which is also Kelle Maisoitan from Finland. Beautiful ballad, just performed wonderfully. Deserved the fourth place it got. Very happy with that. My second place was Magus Melanholia from Estonia. It should have won Eesti Laul by a landslide, but of course, having won the year before, I understand why Uku won, but I'm so happy that he made that song. And it's a controversial number one, but I'm judging it purely on the song, and it's Italy with La Genesi del Tuo Colore from Irama. Love the song. That's what I've judged it by. Bear elaborating, but that's pretty much it.
I feel like I'm kind of going full circle. My choices are kind of a mixture of everyone else's. I'm going to give a shout out to my fourth place, which is Termites with The Future is Bright. I do think it's a great song. And I do think that it was not a last placer. My third place has already been mentioned twice, and it is Finland with Kellima Suitan by Ilta. Not really much else to say about it. It's stunning. It's so beautiful. And I think fourth place was very well deserved for it. My second place has also been mentioned. They've already been mentioned. I don't have the most controversial taste on this one. It is Lithuania with Jabrasi and Where Do You Want to Go? I was actually having a conversation with Lewis about this song earlier, about how much I love it, how I'm still listening to it pretty regularly. It's still in my rotation. And I just think that it's very subtle, but it's very well crafted. And I really, really love his voice and the way he performs. So I'm really hoping he's going to come back to Pabamba Mishnoyau at some point. And I really want to hear more from him because I think this song is great. And I am a basic ass bitch. My winner is Monument. I'm sorry. I can't help it. I am taken in by the pure joy of everything that Kano stand for. And I have nothing more to say on that. I just think it's great. I'm very into basically anything Kano do. So I'm a sucker for it. I'm sorry.
They're releasing new music on Friday. I'm so excited.
I'm so hyped. When you will be listening to this podcast, their new music will already be out. So go and stream their new song. Rory is rolling his eyes at me right now.
He's judging us.
I am fully just shame. I mean, it's not shame, obviously, because they have got some good songs. Would I Lie is by far and away their best song ever. Banger. Fight me.
So with that, one of the things we also wanted to talk about was, as I've already mentioned, each of the individual OGAE fan clubs chooses which song from their national final they want to represent them. Some of them just pick the second placer. Some of them go for a slightly more left field choice. So one of the things I wanted to ask everyone was, if you were able to change one of the songs that was selected, which country's song would you change and what would you change it to from their national final?
This is quite easy for me. It's Melfest. Although I actually do like Every Minute by Eric Sade, I would change it to Dotter's Little Tot. It's still a song that's in my rotation. It's a song I really, really enjoy listening to. And I think it would have had a good chance to win the contest overall. I just think Dotter is amazing. I love Bulletproof as well. I don't know if she's done with Melody Festival now, because obviously she's done quite well 2 years on the bounce, but I would love to see her go to Eurovision. I think she's so talented and her voice is quite unique and I really, really enjoy listening to it. So it's just an easy choice for me. And in no shade to Eric, I think Every Minute is a brilliant song and I really enjoy it when I listen to it. And I thought the staging for it was amazing, but Little Tot, I think, could have gone all the way and won the contest. So easy choice for me.
I am going to go with something different, and by different other than Sweden, of course. And I'm going to go, because we're just getting closer to it, with Thickness and, of course, Albania. No disrespect to Erusi's Yari Im. It's a bop, it's a banger. But for me, I would have chosen Enis Nezeri's Pendesh. I remember they were performing it outdoors and it was very, very cold. So you can literally see her breath when she was singing because it was that cold and she was hitting those high notes. And then OGAE Albania was just like, no, we're going to go for a bop. We're not going to go for the ballad. But you know what? Had it not been for this year's entry, that would have been my pick, just because she sang it very well. And I think I've also heard in rotation an English version, but I don't know if it's Michaela or not, from Malta in 2019. But I'm still querying as to what would have happened. But before that, I'm just going to give shout out. If it was Finland also, I would have picked Axel, just because he never been represented in either this year or last year, which is a bit frustrating.
So I'm going to be a little bit of a cop out and I'm going to do two, because fuck the rules. So I have one serious one and one that's just really personal to me and I really love. So the one that is the serious one for me, I would have switched Yuri for Cece, mostly for the fact that it just is such good, easy listening, really. And It's really just powerful. I mean, I loved the song as soon as I first heard it, really. And comparing her 2021 effort with her 2019 effort, this one was far stronger than Strong. And obviously, it's going to be harder for her to sort of walk in the footsteps of her father, obviously, being the first Estonian representative to win the contest, as well as being the first person of color as well to also win at the contest. But I just really love that song, and it's really been one that's stuck with me, and I have it on quite heavy rotation now, even after the contest. Literally, I was doing work on my dissertation there like the other day, and for about 4 straight hours, I was just listening to nothing but Time. So I might have tired myself out a little bit, but it's not too bad. And then the other one is Portugal. Now, if you were listening to the podcast back in January or whenever the songs for Festival de Canção originally came out, you'll know that I fell in love with this song. And it's since turned into a little bit of a meme, and I'm ready for it. It's That Chick, I Got Music. And I wish she sang it better, because she has got great vocals in any other sense. She just kind of forgot that she was in Festival de Canção. I think she was just having too much of a good time. But I really like it. It's really funky, and it's a one you can just forget all of your troubles. And yeah, I just love it. And she's a fantastic personality. Check out a couple of other songs as well, because she's really, really good in that genre. So yeah, they're my picks.
All Rory really wants is to share this love with Jarl.
With Jarl.
With Jarl.
Jarl.
Yeah, I gotta say the same with the two different choices, because I genuinely can't decide. So my first one, I'm gonna stay on the controversial track here and be even more controversial, and it's Norway. I think Rayleigh should have been the choice instead of Kaino, because Rayleigh should have won Melody Grand Prix and Kaino should have got the second chance. But now that this is the situation, I prefer Rayleigh's song. It's absolute banger. Yeah, vocally not perfect or whatever, but oh, it's the performance is so great, especially in the semifinal. And oh, it would have been amazing to see on the Eurovision stage, and it should have been the rightful choice for second chance, should have won second chance as well. And I would say my second pick is France. I don't know why they picked Tony X when they had songs from both Cephas and Casanova. I think on Amange Lesleil, I don't know how that's pronounced, she would have been a much better entry for them. But I mean, they were sixth. So I mean, good choice, I guess, from a position standpoint.
I'm not 100% sure whether this is controversial, but I am going to apologize to Dan before I say mine, because it is Italy. I'm sorry. I just can't abide Irama. I just can't. I do actually quite like the song, but I can't listen to it, because I just don't think that somebody who sings songs about wanting to punch trans people should be invited to sing in a contest that people see as very welcoming. I've had this rant. Anyway, my song that I would probably pick for Italy, it's a hard choice because of how much I love pretty much every song in Sanremo. And so I am just going to cop out and choose my favorite, which is Amare by La Rappresentante da Lista. Second Cherry did a good job choosing them. Shout out to Second Cherry podcast. There were a few songs I could have chosen. I possibly would have gone for Chiamami per nome, came second, seems to be very well liked. A Milione di cose da dirti, could have gone for Dieci. Yeah, there were some fantastic songs in that selection, and I would have been happy with most of them. So with that, Second Chance has been running since 1987. So there's a long history of songs going through this contest and getting this chance to have this second moment of appreciation. So are there any entries that stand out to you in the history of OGAE Second Chance?
I think the one for me that I would recommend people go and listen to is from 2010, Sweden's Tom Hedgerty, Com. I probably completely messed up the pronunciation of the girl band's name, but I love girl bands. I love girl groups. I love... Tim's like looking at me like with his face like covered, and it's putting me off.
No, it's because there's a story to this, and you know why I'm like that, because we were listening to a radio show the other week.
Oh,
context. I don't know her.
Please provide context. I want to know.
Okay, David Horton, shout out to him. He does like a radio show, which is actually playing right now as we're recording, but we're here. And he mixed up like three songs with some sort of innuendo.
They were all from Melfest, weren't they?
And they were all from Melfest. And this was one of
them. It was Calm every minute. And Arvind Garner.
And Arvind Garner, that's four.
Yeah, there was four songs. And they were not intentional. Yeah, sure.
Did I make the joke about Calm? Yes, I did. And that's why Tim was laughing, but it put me off completely. So I had to call him out on it.
But anyways, please continue.
I love the song. I think it's so different to like stuff that we see Sweden said nowadays. And I like the fact that it's in Swedish and it's really catchy and I really enjoy it. And I guess shout out to David, because David's kind of one of the reasons I like this song quite a lot now. And he's a Melfest fan. So he like goes back and puts songs that were in the contest quite a few years ago. So introduced me to an array of songs. Another one I'd like to give a shout out to is from 2013, Bombo by Adelaide. I would love to see her represent Norway or Spain at Eurovision. I think her song is an absolute bop. And she's released some other bops as well. She released one for one of the World Cup. I think it's called Allé. And again, an amazing, amazing song. And yeah, they're my favourites. Sorry I interrupted the podcast, but I had to call Tim out there because he put me right off.
I set people off quite easily, but just because of that, I will going to make this very quick because I don't want to set any more people off crying or laughing. But I've got a couple. My first one would be Helena Paparizou when she participated in Melody Festivalen. She's got her powerful ballad, Survivor, which, funnily enough, had to go through second chance in Melfest to actually qualify for the final, which shook me a bit. I was like, a Eurovision winner having to prove herself again. But to be fair, though, she did a good job and she did very well. And then the other one would be, for me, Margaret, Poland. Like, I don't know what you were thinking. As much as I have respect for Michal Spot for, like, getting that 221 points from the televote, Margaret could have been, like, higher. I think she would have had the more appeal. And I think that this just put her off Eurovision, which is frustrating. Her entries in Melfest are eligible for second chance, but they never picked it, so...
It kind of gives the ticks effect, to be honest, isn't it? Where I think Michal was just a lot more popular in Poland than Margaret was. And like, obviously you had Edita Górniak in that national selection as well, who had gotten second place for Poland in 94. So it was really just the Titans up against the Titans.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be very bad here and be the fact that I don't necessarily know many of the songs that won OGA Second Chance. But there is two, one of which is Cool Me Down, which I think definitely is a deserved winner. The other one is Mariette, A Million Years. This is a bit of a shocker given my sort of stance on Sweden. Apologies to Dan. But I think Mariette is a fantastic ambassador. Like, she embodies Sweden, basically. And the song was so professional. The staging was amazing. She looked phenomenal in the whole white thing as well. And it's just like a really radio-friendly one, but like, it's not sort of run-of-the-mill pop. It's actually something a little bit more deep. And that's something that I really appreciate within that. If Mariette actually does go to Eurovision at some point and she serves something like A Million Years, Sweden could actually be something that I might like, which is a rarity. But yeah, I mean, to be saying that, I mean, the last song that I liked was The Mamas, but then before that, it was like, Lavoie. So it was a long time before then, but I digress.
Yeah, speaking of Mariette, I think the best winner of Second Chance by far comes from the year after, from Italy with Annalisa, Il Mondo Prima di Te. It's a beautiful song. It should have won the entire Eurovision. Annalisa should have gone to Eurovision this year. That's another super controversial opinion. I'm going to come with a lot of those, I guess. It's touching. It's powerful. Her voice is amazing. I hope she comes back and wins Sanremo like she deserves, hopefully to represent another year, because I hope Elodie comes next year and represents them. And yeah, that's my take on it all. Thank you.
Honestly, I think Il Mondo Prima di Te is a fantastic choice. And the only reason why I'm okay with it not winning Sanremo is because Non Mi Avete Fatto Niente is in my top five Eurovision songs of all time. I just love everything about it. So that's fine. And I think it was a massively deserving winner of Second Chance. And the other one I want to give a shout out to that nobody has yet is Johanna from 2011 with Not. It is a very, very beautiful song. If you like Is It True, you'll probably like this as well. And it's nice hearing her sing in Icelandic. And with that, is there anything anybody would like to add about OGAE Second Chance?
I'm really liking the fact that Eurovision fans still get together and just keep the spark of the contest alive, even in the off season. I mean, at the time of recording, we still don't know where the hell we're going. And like, it has literally taken my mind off it, even if it's just for a bit. And also shout out for OGAE Sweden for always putting up a spectacular show whenever they win and host it, because they've set up such a high standard. Like, the show was very lovely. So shout out to Dan as well for the editing.
Thank you so very much. Thank you.
The main thing really for me is just I'm looking forward to following a few more of them sort of going on in the future, really, because, you know, every year the national final season is just heartbreaking because we get so attached to these songs and then we cry so much when they don't make it. So it's nice when we actually get a chance to sort of celebrate them a little bit more in detail and giving them a little bit extra time to sort of, you know, shine. I'm just looking forward to just finding more, really.
It's nice to see what goes on behind the scenes with like the OGA team as well, because it's something that I've kept meaning to do, like join, but it's something I've never got around to doing. I feel like maybe now that I know a little bit more about like the Second Chance contests and stuff like that, maybe I'll join now.
Dan, are there any insights you'd like to provide on being an OGAE member that those of us who are not members should know before we join?
So there's a lot of, you know, opinions about the entire organization. That's mostly from people who aren't in the organization, should be mentioned. But at the end of the day, it's mostly a very big group of friendly people who just all share the same emotion for the Eurovision. Of course, lots of people do it outside of OGA as well. But for this, it's a moment to come together, and it's usually on-site meetings. So you get to meet other people in real life. You vote on songs you like, or you vote in these different fan contests. And if you get to host one of them, if you want to, you can make it a terrific experience that you will genuinely remember for years to come. And it's not for everyone, but I do recommend reading up on it and taking contact with a local OGA club from where you live and consider joining.
Just an additional one to this for me, like the one little thing that I love being as an OGA member, even though it hasn't happened yet, but the fact that, you know how you get your super fans? OGAE members actually do get a chance to buy like a ticket package for whichever city of Eurovision you go to. I unfortunately was one of the unlucky ones in 2020 who spent that huge amount of money. And if you knew how much it was, you knew how much crying you were. And then when you end up in 2021 saying, oh, I just got this money back. So it was just basically a savings account for 1 year. Sure, I made money because of the FX exchange, but still, it was so sad that I couldn't be in the grand final on the floor, cheering everyone on. But, you know, fingers crossed for 2022. And also, like, to mirror what Dan said, is like, you know, remember I said earlier on that I just came back from the Eurobash? That's one of the events that OGAE UK provides in the UK. And, you know, OGAE UK is actually the biggest OGAE club overall. And we were just like, yeah, no wonder why, you know, we're not really being received very well in Europe, but yet we're the biggest fans of it. We're in it for the fun. We're frustrated as well. And we are trying, trust us. We love the contest as much as you do, so don't worry about it.
As Montaigne said, everything is frustrating.
And we say, don't break me for that.
Mood. So with that, that brings us to the end of this episode of That Eurovision Podcast. I would like to thank Jazzy, Tim and Rory for joining me, and especially give thanks to Dan for sharing your insights, your opinions, and all the amazing work you have done in producing OGAE Second Chance this year. Thank you so, so much. It has been lovely having you on.
Thank you so very much. It's been a pleasure.
So, as you probably already know, but I'm going to remind you anyway, you can follow us on all of our social media, on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at That Eurosite. We also have a YouTube channel where you can see our interviews, hopefully reaction videos coming soon to Junior Eurovision content, even more stuff coming up. That is at That Eurovision Site on YouTube. And don't forget, we actually have a website as well, thateurovisionsite.com. Check us out for all of the latest Eurovision news. You can also listen to our podcast on all of your favorite podcast streaming platforms. We are on Spotify. We are on Apple Podcasts. We also upload all our episodes to YouTube, so you can just listen to us there if that's what you prefer. With that, shall we all say goodbye?
Bye.
Bye. Bye.